Hello, this is Father Schnitherman, so welcome to Coptic Voice Radio. Today is the glorious Feast of the Resurrection. Today we've got a wonderful program filled with many things. What is resurrection? Who is Jesus that resurrected from the dead? Can a man actually rise from the dead? Well, we're going to give you a wonderful reflection today on the Feast of Resurrection. With me also have Debbie Armanius from Exodus Youth Works, and she'll be talking to us about Exodus and what Exodus is, and she'll be joining us concerned about the reflection and the power of resurrection, and she'll be giving us a wonderful reflection on the Desert Fathers. And with me I have
Debbie Armanius.
And with me I have
Peter.
And also I have
Abinul.
Excited because today, as Abinul will tell us about Fata and wonderful meals about on the Easter night as well. And we can't wait. Let's go on and let's have this short interval and straight into the Gospel of John. Welcome back to Coptic Voice Radio. It's time for our Gospel Reflection. Today being Easter, Orthodox Easter, it is the Gospel of the Resurrection. Like now, turn to the Gospel of St. John, turn over to chapter 20, and be reading from verse 1 to verse 18. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter, and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there. Yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lined with the linen cloths, but folded down in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus staying there, and did not know that it was Jesus. And she said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me, where have you laid him, and I'll take him away. Jesus said to Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Glory be to God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This is the gospel of the resurrection. Jesus has resurrected from the dead. And truly he has ascended from the grave, risen from the grave. And the first woman to meet him was Mary Magdalene. She came early in the morning. She came with spices. She came to anoint Jesus' body. But what did she find? She found the linen neatly and gently folded together at the tomb. And she went in and saw an empty tomb. And she was so upset, emotion distorted, and she thought that they've taken away my Lord's body. And then she saw Jesus. Supposing he was a gardener. Have you taken my Lord? And the Lord Jesus responded to her, Mary. She knew his voice. She knew his tone. And then she clinged onto him. And Jesus said to her, do not cling onto me. Now hear why the Lord said to her, do not cling onto me. Because she still doubted on the resurrection. She still doubted on the resurrected Lord. At times we doubt that the Lord has risen. But she ran and told the disciples that she has seen the Lord. And truly, Jesus has resurrected. This is why we say in the traditional Greek language, Christos Anesti. And response to that is Alithos Anesti. And I might be in problems, but Jesus resurrects me. He resurrects me from my sins, resurrects me from my faults, resurrects me from my troubles, resurrects me from the problems with my wife or my husband, resurrects me from lots of things. Only one that can resurrect, that is Jesus. And when Christ is in our lives, he truly resurrects us, because he loves us. And his death on the cross yesterday on the Great Friday wasn't in vain, but truly was life-giving resurrection for us on early Sunday morning. Debbie, what's your reflection on the resurrection?
I think I'll concentrate on the darkened tomb. I think everyone has a darkened tomb in their life. We all have. And Mary Magdalene enters this place of stench and death and misery and burial cloths and lights shining through the door. And even in the darkest of places, God is there. Christ is there with her. And he chooses the first place to visit after his resurrection. You know, the whole from the death and then straight to hell. He went to the darkest pit first. And I think we have to remember that when the dark clouds come over and there's a stench of death in our days and no one can help us and no one can pull us out of that pit. As you said, the resurrected Christ And that's the glory and the beauty and the magnificence of Easter.
Absolutely. Peter, reflection on resurrection.
Father, I think we could have about a good 10 segments on reflections of the resurrection. Now, this gospel reading that we just listened to, it details a sequence of events, and the whole time I couldn't really focus because my mind, you know, can't look at the details of what happened to this person and that person and their experience and what happened, you know. None of that meant anything more than Christ is risen. I knew the ending. I peeked at the end of the book, so to speak. And that's amazing that, you know, that demonstrates God's authority over the physical and over the spiritual. He conceptualized the physical world. You know, that's his creation. You know, he cannot be destroyed. He did this. He went through this because he had a plan, which was to save us from our sin, which resulted in our death. And that's why he went down to Hades and opened the gates of Hades for all the righteous. That's why we call him the Redeemer, because he redeemed us. And I think that's, you know, far more important than any of the details that I couldn't really focus on, Father.
And not in that, Peter, may I say to you, is that he is the only one that resurrected himself. No one was able to do that. And his death after 3 days, he rose himself from the dead. He trampled death by his own death.
Now there's a victory.
Absolutely. Abinob.
Yes, Father. I think that the fact it took 3 days to resurrect shows that it shows the real human side to God, that everything takes time, that even through tribulation, it's not going to be over in a moment.
And also, if he resurrected after 1 hour, he wasn't dead. Resurrected after 1 day, he wasn't dead.
It really had to
resurrect the second
it.
Day, he wasn't dead. But 3 days.
Well and truly dead.
Well and truly dead.
Yes.
So obviously, you know, that shows you that Christ resurrected and he was truly buried and the tomb was really sealed and he came out of that tomb.
And Father, what makes this, you know, even more glorious is the enormous contrast to the readings that we've been listening to in the Passion Week for the past few days, especially having, you know, all the dark stuff going on and the crucifixion on Good Friday, a couple of days, you know, yesterday,
yeah.
You know, having done all the readings where, you know, the earth went dark and quaked in fear and, you know, all this stuff, it just makes it all that much more magnificent, the resurrection.
His resurrection is magnificent. His name be exalted, and in Jesus' name all is saved. And that's why in the Orthodox Church we spent one whole week, and Debbie made mention last week concerning the anticipation. I love the words you used yet last week. In the anticipation, truly, we anticipated from, you know, Raphael Passion Week, the glorious resurrection. That's why we call it glorious resurrection. We don't call it Easter. We call it the glorious resurrection.
The really nice thing about Orthodox churches, Father, during this great feast, is that all of Passion Week we have all the dark black cloths in the church over the curtains and over the icons, but on the resurrection it's all changed to white. And you know, even if you never read the scripture the whole week but you just looked inside, you see this glorious dawn on early Saturday.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. And it's time for us to look at the meaning of resurrection after this short break.
Listen as your day unfolds, challenge what the future holds, try and keep your head up to the sky. Lovers, they may cause you tears, go ahead, release your fears, stand up and be counted, don't be ashamed to cry. You gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard, you gotta be tough, you gotta be stronger. You gotta be cool, you gotta be calm, you gotta stay together. All I know, love will save the day. Herald what your mother said, read the books your father read, trying to solve the puzzles in your own sweet time. Some may have more cash than you, others take a different view.
Tears. Go ahead, release your fears.
The Voice Radio, proudly brought to you by the Coptic Orthodox Diocese of Sydney and Affiliate Regions Media Committee. And with me I have
Debbie Arimanius.
And also I have
Big Peter.
Big Peter, yeah. And also I have
Abinub Salama.
And also I have
Paul.
Paul, absolutely Paul.
Paul who?
We're talking about resurrection today. Tonight is the churches and throughout all the Orthodox world will be celebrating the liturgy of the divine liturgy on the resurrection, the feast of resurrection. And what is resurrection? And obviously we want to look at the first of all the theology of resurrection and then the conceptual side of resurrection. And obviously resurrection means what? And you know, even the word anastasi means to rise.
Mm.
And it's a Greek word, and everyone says Christos Anesti, and the response is Alisos Anesti, yes. Christ has risen, and indeed he is risen.
Indeed.
And the word indeed, you know, it gives us a wonderful, powerful, you know, expression that truly Christ has risen. And so, when St. Paul went into into Athens and into the main stadium, people were thinking about what is resurrection. You know, come on, there's no such thing called resurrection. How could resurrection? You're speaking strange things and strange things to our ears. And in this modern world society, when we speak about resurrection to atheists, to agnostics, also that same expression that St. Paul experienced, then 2,000 years is uttered today. Why is that?
Death is hard.
Death is hard. Because everyone sees life and death, and after that they can't see anything.
No. It's really final. If you don't experience the resurrected Christ, death is mighty final.
Mighty final.
Mm.
Yeah.
But how do you explain that?
Yeah, well, like, listen, I because even if we look at, someone said, oh, man, listen, I'm atheist. I don't believe anything. You know, I believe that, you know, you should do good and so forth, but, you know, that's it. And this life is it.
Mm.
But you said it perfectly correct. If they haven't experienced the resurrected Christ, it's still, they're darkened, their mind is darkened. They can't see anything past life.
No, it's that closed tomb.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's one of those things, Father. I mean, it's like, it's pretty definitive. Death is death, not life, not resurrection, not anything. So, you know, imagine, you know, a society where all these people, you know, we say the sky is blue. The sky is blue. But if someone comes along and says, you know, the sky is actually orange or pink, you know, I wouldn't be able to listen to him, because for hundreds of generations, if not thousands of generations before me, death has always been death, and there's no two ways about it. Just as the sky has always been blue and will always be blue, and, you know, you can't challenge that concept of what the sky is or what death is. It's just something so foreign. Whereas, you know, in the case of Christ, of course, who is above, you know, above this world, above any phenomena, death isn't definitively death. Death is something totally within his control. And, you know, that's why we look back at the book of Genesis, where death came as a result of sin. This was a consequence that was given by authority. And he's the one that had that authority. And he's the one that controlled life itself and, of course, death itself as well.
And that's why we say Christ trampled death by his death. And through his death, we have life. And that's the awesome part about the power of resurrection. And actually, when we look at power of resurrection, Jesus is the only one that trampled death by his death. He died on the cross, and the third day he rose by himself, came out of his own tomb, walked out of his own tomb, because he is the Lord, giver of life. And he gave it freely on the cross, and gave his life freely, but he had the power to bring life back to himself, because he is Lord, God and Savior, which makes him not just a mere man. Some call him a prophet. A prophet couldn't do that. A man can't do that unless he was God, he was able to do that. And I guess when we look at that, there is a contextual side of resurrection. And this is why, you know, we hear it regularly by politicians. When a politician, you know, is coming back to his realms of politics, is Lazarus from the dead is coming back. So they use this theological expression of, you know, but, you know, we want to understand only Jesus raised Lazarus. Jesus don't raise politicians. And I think that you need to understand in context what I've said. Only Christ raised Lazarus. And, you know, I understand why politicians do that. It's what we call political jargon and so forth, but they love using political jargon in their speeches. So what is the context of resurrection? The context of resurrection is that, for example, if I am away from God and I've repented, I have been resurrected from a sin or drug abuse or alcohol abuse, or even, for example, marital issues, where the marital between husband and wife is dead and all of a sudden life comes back. It's been resurrected because Christ has resurrected it. And Debbie, who is from Exodus Youth Works, gave us a wonderful expression from last week. So let us ask Debbie for one story about a resurrected situation.
Putting me on the spot. As I said last week, the young people who attend Exodus called this organization Exodus Youth Works, and they did that because many of them were enslaved for many different reasons, whether that be substance or whether that be trauma or history. And if we look at the story of the Israelites being enslaved by Pharaoh, once they were released, they wandered in the wilderness and looking to find the promised land. Many times that resurrection of the promised land was postponed for one reason or another. Most of the time, lack of faith. So just as they traveled through the wilderness, our young people that we see travel a wilderness that is very barren and very dry and very lonely. But we are very blessed at Exodus to see people arrive at Christ. And that comes in so many different ways. And I won't perhaps pick a person, but I'll pick something that happened yesterday that probably about a dozen of us saw Christ's hand in the most amazing way, but it was just everyday living. We were doing a Bunnings barbecue on Anzac Day, and I was organizing the sausages and the sauce and everything, and I was very busy, and I failed to remember to book 500 loaves of bread. And so it was a public holiday on Thursday, so at 11 p.m. Wednesday night, someone said, "Where's the bread?" And I said, "Oh my goodness, I've forgotten it." They said, "What are we going to do?" And I said, "Well, we've got to go find some." We had 1 hour, literally, to head to every Woolworths and Coles. We came back with 60 loaves of bread, but we needed 500. So we were just driving back to Exodus with our 60 loaves, and lo and behold, and this is remarkable, we passed a bakery that the door was open at midnight on Wednesday night, the eve of Anzac Day, and we pulled over. The guys jumped out of the vehicle and said, "Are you open?" They said, "Yes, we're baking for tomorrow." And they said, "But tomorrow's a public holiday." And they said, "Yeah, we thought we'd start at midnight." And we said, "Could we have 500 loaves for tomorrow?" And they said, "Sure." The young guys who were organizing that barbecue just looked at me and said, "Do you think we should go fishing and find fish as well?" I said, "Well, if we could barbecue fish tomorrow, that'd be okay." Little things like that are signs of resurrection. When there is no hope, and personally, I thought, there's no way I'm going to find 500 loaves of bread at midnight on the eve of a public holiday in Sydney.
There's a lot of sausages there, Debbie.
And I had the sausages. It was the bread I needed. It's a lot. So if you look at every day, there is a glimpse of the resurrection. And that resurrection, its other name is hope. And faith. And when things look impossible and when things look completely out of control and just there's no way out, that's what resurrection looks like.
Amen. And after this short break, we shall continue our program on the meaning of Easter. Like a phoenix from its ashes.
urgency, emergencies among us. Life is in a crisis, tragedies upon us, and we won't leave you stranded. Rapidly we cometh to kick you out the darkness, show you where the sun is. Cries from the rubble are the voices this is sung with, and those that have stopped singing, we can still hear you under it. Right about your worrying, right into the wondrous, right up off the ground, right to where the thunder is. And that's where your sisters and your mothers and your brothers is, aunties and your friends and your fathers and your husbands is, watching with the rest of the world in astonishment. Then from up above, us via news coverage is seen even more than the misery that happens is the love, the strength, the history, the passion, the courage of an impoverished people that the world once abandoned, shining, infinite, everlasting.
I've been shaking, I've been shaking, but I'm not broken.
Coptic Voice Radio on Saturday afternoon of the Feast of Resurrection, where all the Orthodox Church throughout the whole world be celebrating the Divine Liturgy for the Resurrection. And with me I have Abinor. We're going to talk about, you know, Easter and Easter dinner and some of the great festivities that happens on tonight and also tomorrow at lunchtime and tomorrow night at dinner time. Tell us, What's your favorite food?
Definitely feta.
100%. Now, what is feta? Obviously, those that listen to us said, "What on earth is he saying?"
Well, it's rice and meat with fried bread, I think it is, and it's just dipped in a soup, and then it's all mixed together into a plate, and it's.
Mate, this sounds awesome, man. It sounds awesome.
Yeah,
it's awesome. So there's feta and there's. What a green soup. What's a green soup?
Molokhia.
Molokhia.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, just stop drooling on the mics.
Sorry, Pete.
We can't wait till tonight, Peter. That's the problem.
Oh, 100%.
You know, Father, in many households around the world, obviously, a lot of the cooking has already begun. Some people even started from yesterday. That's how big these feasts are.
Yeah, very much indeed. The green soup molokhia, you know, and there's chicken and variety. And the other thing is that remember one of our programs, Peter, we talk about variety of meats. They got veal schnitzel, chicken schnitzel, meat schnitzel, and then the barbecue format and the snacks and. Oh, mate, what a feast.
Bechamel.
Oh, mate, make all my tummy go upside down.
I think we should end the segment again.
Now, tell us, what other part of the Feast of Resurrection, do people cook special eggs and colored eggs or in the Greek tradition that they have? And, like coloured eggs and,
and that they make the coloured eggs, and everyone takes one, and they're trying to break it and see who, you know, who's the, it's got the strongest eggshell, and so forth. Do cops have something like that or not?
Not from my experience, no.
Debbie, do you do part of your cooking expedition? I guess obviously you started maybe yesterday or the day before for your Easter lunch tomorrow. Do you do coloured eggs? You haven't come across
it. You mean in my family or in family. Exodus?
In your family.
No, the neighbours are Greek. And so we always get a big basket of coloured eggs, and we've picked up from, which is really, I mean, that's great multiculturalism in Australia.
Yeah.
So the Greeks send over the eggs, and they showed us how to crack it.
Yeah.
And, so it's not our culture, but we have taken it on board.
On board, yeah.
Yes.
And we love it, man, we love it.
Mm.
What else? Okay, so therefore, tomorrow morning, obviously, you know, tonight we'll be celebrating the resurrection, and after church, families come together and people come together to have, you know, a small supper, because it's 1 o'clock by the time we come home and so forth. And obviously having a big meal doesn't agree with us these days. So people have, you know, small snacks, if anything. And
as long as you can fit the chocolate in as well.
That's more.
Actually, everyone shares chocolate eggs after the liturgy. Everyone shares a chocolate egg, and everyone brings out the Cadbury's, the roses, and all sorts of things, and then sharing that through, and you know, everyone become a sweet tooth and sweet teeth on the resurrection. Mixed world, doesn't it? Meat and chocolate, doesn't it?
Doesn't sound too bad to me.
No, it doesn't.
Can't wait.
None of us can wait. And also now, our tum is rumbling, by the way, of all this molchi and rice and meat and so forth. Honestly, it's really great. May I say to you, my friend, nothing more beautiful than sharing the Feast of Resurrection with your friends and with other family friends, because only one that gives us life, and that is Jesus himself. Man, and, you know, I want to say to you that if you're able to, go and visit a church tonight, one of the Orthodox churches, and experience the power of resurrection and the Feast of Resurrection, because, man, we reenact, and I'll tell you something, we're going to stop here and we're going to talk about the reenactment of resurrection.
I've got a story to add to that too.
Okay, after a short break, we'll come back, we'll do about the reenactment of resurrection. Welcome back to Coptic Voice Radio. This is Farshu and the Mansur, proudly brought to you by the Coptic Orthodox of Sydney and the Philip Regions Media Committee. Now we're talking about reenacting of resurrection. May I tell you my story, Debbie? When I first was appointed to St. Anthony's Church, or St. Anthony's St. Paul, Guildford, and I had my first resurrection. And I remember my first resurrection, I came out of my skin. When they were doing the resurrection, man, I came out of my skin. I was hearing gunshots, fire outside, you know, it was...
I think we better explain what you're talking about for those who don't know.
Yeah. May I say to you, you know, what we do on resurrection reenacted, we close all the lights of the church.
And all the curtains.
All the curtains. It's dark as anything.
The kids get scared.
The kids get scared and adults get scared. I got scared that night. And it took me a little while until it came out of my skin that I knew what's going on. Anyway, they have a chorus, those who are in the altar and those outside the altar. And those inside the altar is led by the clergy. And, you know, and they talk about, it's coming from the Psalms, and talking about who is this king and this king, what's his name? And then the deacons respond, he is none other than the Lord, God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then all of a sudden, a big bang to resemble the crack of the tomb moving, and also the resurrected Lord coming out, and the whole church is filled with light, and the accolation by the ladies, and then the deacons with all their might talking about E Christos Anesti in the beautiful feast of resurrection. May I say to you, that first night, I remember going back in the early 90s, I did come out of my skin and I grabbed my senior by his arms and he smiled and laughed because he realized obviously I didn't have, you know, I wonder where was it all these years. I never experienced, and even though I attended many resurrections as a young kid, but this time I came out of my skin. That's a moment of my life that I'll never forget.
My story is very similar to yours. Last year we had a young man, I think he's about 21, a Coptic boy, but he'd never experienced the resurrection liturgy and reenactment. And he'd been coming in and out of Exodus, and anyway, we managed to get him to the church. And he wasn't at my parish, but the next day I saw him. He said, "Deb, have you seen it?" I said, "Seen what?" He said, "Did you go to church last night? Did you see the loud noises and the bangs and the lights and the reenactment of Christ entering heaven?" I said, "Yes, mate. Yeah, I've seen it for about 35 years, actually." He said, I never experienced that. I didn't think the church would do such a thing. It was great, and it really meant a lot to him. So there is one story of a resurrection from a young man that has been living in darkness, in drug addiction and lots of loneliness, and he was just overwhelmed. And he's looking forward to his second Easter this year.
Absolutely. We wish him well for tonight's event for him as well. Abinorb, what are your reflections on the reenactment?
It's definitely an outlying event within the church. I think it's there to shock the congregation and let them know that this is a special event. This is something different. Take notice of this night, because this night is important.
Absolutely. And the kids enjoy the procession. And after we did the reenactment, we go around the church three times in the procession as though Jesus is amongst us and Christ is amongst us, walk in our midst, as he did with the disciples and the apostles, as he did with in the first encounter with Mary Magdalene, and the empty tomb, you know, is filled with spices. The empty tomb is no longer dark, but lit with light. The empty tomb, by the way, is filled with mysteries, and that mystery is Christ has resurrected. Christos Anesti.
Christos Anesti.
Christ has risen.
Indeed he has risen.
Amen. Indeed he's risen. You know, and I'm certain that, you know, look at other languages, what Christ has risen, indeed he's risen, may mean. Another short break, we are going to talk about the future of Exodus.
Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain, we all have sorrow. But if we are wise, we know that there's
Welcome back to Coptic Voice Radio. With me I have Debbie Armanius, who is the Director of Exodus Youth Works. Hello, Debbie.
Hello, Father.
And it's beautiful afternoon for the Feast of Resurrection.
Mm.
And obviously, having the Feast of Resurrection, it's obviously a timely period where you have the future of Exodus and its tragedy and the vision. What's your vision for Exodus?
My vision, I like to think of it just as today. So if we can just get through today and do the right thing and the best we can for mm-hmm. the people that we serve, that's my vision every day.
Uh-huh.
And it's new every day. But if I dare and hope to look into the future, I hope it's an organization that can continue and grow in wisdom and strength and in services for young people that are mm-hmm. struggling
yeah.
in so many areas. I have a vision of more employees and people that have been trained in youth work and counselors at hand and industries where we can get young people that are unskilled, get them working and give them a work ethic and all those things that we would like for new life for young people. If you go to the Exodus website, we have lots of programs and lots of ideas and with the input from the young people themselves, we are looking to the future, God willing, if God chooses, where we can have more refuges, more drop-in centres, professionals coming in, more than we have, you know, counsellors and psychologists, and build an organisation that will glorify God in the lives of young people.
Yeah.
I want the gospel living. I want it to be relevant, and I want faith and Christ to be very there where they are. I'm reading a book by Father Greg Boyle who speaks about Christ not just saying, I'll heal the leper. He became the leper. He brought it to a place where the marginalized were. So I want Exodus. I would very much hope God will bless that Exodus takes Christ to where those marginalized flock are.
If I'm a listener, listen to the program right now, Debbie said, I would dearly love to volunteer, say, a couple of hours a week.
Mm. Website.
Website.
Yes,
now, tell us about the website.
www.exodusyouthworks, and works is with an X at the end to represent the cross, .org.au. So if you just Google Exodus Youth Work Sydney, you'll find it, and you can contact us there. And if you'd like to volunteer or you're a professional that would like to do some work with us, we are certainly willing and waiting to hear from you.
Awesome stuff. Now tell me, obviously sort of, you talked about day-to-day, which means that obviously an organization that employs both employees and different schools and volunteers, you have some overheads as well.
Of course. And that's where the miracle comes in, because I'm the director and I have about $5,000 a week.
Uh-huh.
And I have to confess, I don't even look for that. God provides. I don't know where it comes from.
Yeah.
From good people that know what we do and appreciate what we do and believe in what we do. And they donate. So the majority of our finance comes from support, comes from donations. We do get small government grants, but if you're looking at $5,000 a week for rent and wages and, you know, all the things that we need to provide for young people, you don't know where to look. And so we look up and it comes down.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Now, obviously, again, if people would like to donate, you know, a little bit, they could go to your website again at
www.exodusyouthworks.org.au.
And we look forward, Debbie, that we're able to have another segment with you. You blessed us last week during Palm Sunday, and also you blessed us today for the Feast of Resurrection. And we wish, first of all, yourself and your family, your husband and your two beautiful children, and also the organization you work with all your heart, Exodus Youth Works. May Jesus bless you. May Jesus bless your wonderful ministry offered to the Lord. And Christ has risen.
Thank you, Father, and to you. And thank you for having us.
Thank you very much indeed. And thank you, Abuno, for being with us as well, sharing your experience on Exodus.
Thank you so much for having me, Father. I'm glad I could be here.
And now it's time for the Desert Fathers. From the Paradise of the Holy Fathers, translated by Wallace Budge.
Said, a dog is better than I am, for he has love, and he comes not to judge. A brother asked an old man, saying, is it a good thing for us to repent many times? The old man said to him, we see that when Joshua the son of Nun lay upon his face, the Lord spoke with him. An old man once asked, why do the devils fight against us in the way they do? He replied, because we throw away from us our armor, that is to say, obedience, humility, and abstinence. One of the old men of the desert said, I would rather have defeat with humility than conquest with boasting. A brother asked Abba Poem, how is it possible for a man to avoid speaking evil to his neighbor? The old man answered, saying to him, we and our brethren possess two images. Whenever a man condemns himself, his brother appears to him as pleasing and excellent. But whenever a man appears pleasing to himself, his brother will be found to be, in his sight, hateful and abominable.
River wide enough, baby. If you need me, call me.
Did you know? Today, all of the Orthodox world celebrate the Feast of Resurrection.
Did you know that Mary Magdalene took the good news of the resurrected Christ to the apostles in the upper room, and then she was known as the Apostle to the Apostles?
Did you know that the egg is representative of new life? And that is why we have the Easter egg.
And did you know that you've been listening to Coptic Voice, a program proudly brought to you by the Coptic Orthodox Diocese of Sydney and its affiliated regions, and proudly sponsored by the Coptic Media Association Sydney. If you'd like to write to us, you can do so at coptic.voice@hotmail.com. That's coptic.voice@hotmail.com, and we'll get back to you shortly.
And now it's time for me to go and wishing everyone the glorious Feast of Resurrection. Happy Resurrection and the Feast of Resurrection tonight. Enjoy the liturgy and enjoy the Feast of Resurrection. And God bless and see you next week. Signing out, this is Father Schnudert Mansell.
May the love of God, the Father, the grace of His only begotten Son, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Depart in peace. May the peace of God be with you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever.